unexpected beginning as well. Unlike Matthew and Luke, whose familiar narratives bring us the angels and the shepherds and the wise men and the star over the stable where Mary and Joseph welcomed the baby Jesus into the world, these are the basis of most of our Christmas carols and our pageants, the story many of us know by heart from a young age. No, John begins with, "In the beginning." This is the Bible's once upon a time, right? In the beginning, which to any ears attuned to the Hebrew scriptures calls us back to Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John starts at the very beginning to tell the story of Jesus with a most audacious and bold claim that he was in the beginning with God. That is, Jesus was in the beginning with God. And all things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. For John, there are no humble beginnings. There is a bold cosmic claim that the story of Jesus begins in creation with the Creator who called all things into being. What happened in the story of Jesus is no less monumental than creation itself. The word that was spoken in the beginning saying, "Let there be light," speaks again, "Let there be light." And a new light is born, and what came into being was life itself. John does not tell a story on a small scale. Light and darkness, life and death, he paints in broad strokes, drawing on the huge themes written out through the whole story of Israel, from creation through the prophets to the coming of Jesus. Recalling the choices laid before Israel as they stood on the shore of the Jordan River, leaving the wilderness behind and entering the promised land. There, Joshua, following Moses, presents the people with a choice, being the way of life and the way of death, right? You remember that? We talked about that a little bit this fall. "Choose life that you may live," was the scripture. Choose life. And John presents us with that same choice. In the same way, he presents the reader or the listener of his gospel with a choice between light and darkness, lamenting those who choose darkness and calling all towards the light that has come in Jesus. This theme of light and darkness runs deep through the scriptures. When the people of Israel are led out of slavery, God appears to them as a pillar of fire, of light. When God instructed them to build that tabernacle, his dwelling, and then the temple, in the Holy of Holies there burns an eternal light. And the Psalms entreat us again and again, "Let the light of your face shine in us, O God. The Lord is my light and my salvation," Psalm 27. "And in your light we see light," Psalm 36. And Psalm 119, "Your word is a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And the prophet Isaiah carries that image of light very strongly. The Gospel of John draws strongly on Isaiah's images to depict what's happening with Jesus. "Come, let us walk in the light of the world," says Isaiah 2:5. Isaiah 9:2, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has dawned. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawning." Isaiah 60, verse 2 and 3. And the Gospel of Matthew also draws on the image of light and darkness. It's Matthew who reminds us of the star which pointed the wise men to Jesus' birth. Matthew writes, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region and shadow of death, on them light has dawned." He's echoing Isaiah. And in Luke's gospel, Zechariah sings of the child who has come to give light to those sitting in darkness in the shadow of death and to guide us in the way of peace. Again, echoing Isaiah. These cosmic, huge themes of life and death, light and darkness. It seems like a lot of weight to put on one small baby. And after 2,000 years, two millennia of remembering this birth, the significance of this event can be lost behind the tinny carols in the elevator, the muzak we hear as we shop, shop, shop under pressure of the countdown to Christmas, weighed down by expectations of perfection, and all too aware of how our lives, relationships, and families are not as perfect as the Christmas card families we want to present on our Christmas cards and social media news feeds. "Is it true?" we might whisper today as we come to worship among the carols and joyful greetings of Merry Christmas in the foyer. "Is this for me?" We might ask ourselves, in the painful, quiet ache of our broken and grieving hearts, what difference does it make anyway? Is it all a show, a lie? We might ask. We might carry painful memories of times when family or friends, even the church itself, sometimes it feels like God itself has let us down. Will the light ever win? Does Jesus really bring light? Will the darkness ever be defeated? Even when the briefest scan of headlines seems to be otherwise, we have this audacity to proclaim that the light continues to shine and the darkness does not overcome it. And we are called to believe that promise even when it doesn't seem apparent. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. This phrase can also be read, the darkness has not understood it. In the classic Madeleine L'Engle novels, beginning with A Wrinkle in Time, which was put out as a movie last Christmas, which our family's reading right now, this Wrinkle in Time tells the cosmic narrative of light and darkness, good and evil, and struggle. And Meg, the protagonist, the main character, she's confronted with a powerful embodiment of evil in the form of a being, a brain, called It. And she needs to determine what she has that It does not have. And she recalls with some struggle that she has love, love from and for her father and brother, and It does not understand it, cannot overcome it. Love is stronger than hatred. And that is what we proclaim when we say Jesus is born. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it, could not even understand it. The message reads, the life light blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. And the light blazed so strongly it took on human flesh and became one of us, became recreated as a human. The one who created the world allowed himself to be recreated in human flesh. The light became one of us and helped us to see who we really are because of who God really is. The passage from John 1 is just the prologue, just the beginning of the story that the whole of the gospel will tell us. The gospel that will tell us what grace looks like, smells like, sounds and feels like. The whole of the gospel of John reminds us again and again that Jesus came from God, will ascend again to God, that Jesus is heaven sent and calls us to be with him. And why? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Ah, there's the crux. John 1:12 says, to all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gives the power to become children of God. As we reflect on Jesus, the Son of God, the gospel points us again to our own identity as children of God, loved by God. Jesus is heaven-born, God loved him, and somehow through him, through his coming and being made flesh, so are we. That is our promise too, because of Jesus, that identity that we are children of God is ours. David J. Lowes writes, John's Christmas story doesn't dally with shepherds or angels and seems to know nothing about the young mother or magi. Indeed, John's story is hardly about the birth of Jesus at all, but instead focuses or points towards the difference that that birth can make for all of us. He's less interested in the birth of a babe in Bethlehem than he is in the birth of you or I as children of God. So whatever describes us or even brings us down, whatever darkness we feel is ours. Our upbringing or experiences, good and bad, our marriages, our sexuality, our triumphs, our tragedies, they don't define us. What defines us is now that we are born as children of God. John 12:36, Jesus says, believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of God. Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Let that sink in for a bit. As you take in the Christmas scene before you, the manger, the lights on the Christmas tree, the Christ candle lit in the Advent wreath, the memory perhaps of last night candles lit in the darkness. Maybe that's what Christmas is all about, tying us in again to the deep gospel truth that God loves us so much that God sent his only Son to become human and to call us to the light, to call us back to our deepest selves, our God-created selves, our deeply loved selves. We are children of God. That is part of the Christmas truth God is proclaiming to us today. The message proclaims John's gospel this way. He, that is Jesus, came to his own people and they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he proclaimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. The Son of God came into the world that we might be called the children of God. And because we have seen who Jesus is, we can know who we are called to be. As we comprehend this deep gift and truth, we're given the choice to choose away from darkness and into God's glorious light. We are called to receive God's love and reject the powers of hatred and darkness. That this can all be embodied in a baby born in Bethlehem is a truth so powerful that the darkness cannot comprehend it and certainly cannot overcome it. Merry Christmas, children of God.
In response, the choir is going to come forward and sing the song, Jesus, Jesus, Oh, What a Wonderful Child. It is in your purple songbook, number 19. I invite you to turn to that at this point. The choir will sing this through two times, and then we're going to invite you to join in as well for the third time through. So it's number 19 in the purple songbook. On this day of celebration and of joy, We also know that we are experiencing all kinds of things in our lives, and there is also pain and sorrow, and there is celebration of all kinds. And so today we want to bring our joys and our sorrows to God in prayer. A mic will come around. I invite you to put up your hand, say your name, and share what's on your heart. What is it that we want to bring before this community and God on this Christmas morning? Let's pray. Incarnate God, this night we remember when the soles of your feet touched the earth where we dwell. We recall your coming into the lowliest of dwellings, a stable with animals around you. We give thanks for your coming as an infant, taking all the qualities and characteristics of humans, providing a fuller picture of who you are and what we might become through your transforming power and love. We give you thanks for coming as light into the darkness, for always coming as our light. We give you thanks for your tears, for the way you were and are present among the sorrows and pains of this world. We ask that in you our own tears might be transformed into joy. Empower us to hear and receive the good news of great joy given on that sacred night to the humble shepherds. Awaken within us the uninhibited delight of a child, the energy of youth, the capacity of the elderly to see the bigger picture of what you are up to in the world. In this time of God with us, we offer our gratitude and know that we are graced by your presence. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Number 201, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We'll sing, I invite you to stand for this song and for the benediction and for the final song as well. Number 201, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let's stand.
Thank you.
May the God of the angels, who heralded Christ's birth, bring joy into your hearts this day and always. May the God of love, who gave his only Son to be born for you, fill your life with love and peace. May Emmanuel, God with us, be with you in all your doings and all your celebrations until he brings you into his eternal kingdom. And may God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Number 212, O Come All Ye Faithful. In the joy of Christmas.